Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Hello and welcome to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. The first segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Rabia Catter from the Canadian Association of Muslims with Disabilities. So tell me a little bit about the association.
Canadian Association of Muslims with Disabilities, or CAMD, emerged as a response to the needs that we as individuals with disabilities within the Muslim community felt. The fact that there was limited access for us to fully participate in our mosques and Islamic centers, the fact that there were negative attitudes toward disability within the community, the fact that people were pretty isolated from their communities. And a number of us living with disabilities came together, we're doing work in the mainstream around race and disability, and felt that we needed to make some concerted efforts within our own communities. So we carried out some initial research to document the experiences of individuals and make a series of recommendations to the community.
So how do you go about breaking down some of the barriers or the negative attitudes you mentioned?
Well, in our case, it meant a lot of awareness raising and also using theological references to support the shift in attitude that was necessary. One of the things we also implemented was a khutbah or sermon campaign around the United Nations International Day of Persons with Disabilities, which is annually observed on December the 3rd. We have been for a number of years calling on our imams and khatibs, people who lead Friday prayers, because that's the weekly congressional prayer with a sermon for Muslims. We called on them to dedicate their message the first Friday of December to disability and Islamic tradition, to remind people how people with disabilities were in fact a natural part of society at the onset in the life of the Prophet Muhammad.
So what types of disabilities do you most commonly encounter in your work?
All forms of disability. I mean, fast forward, our organization eventually established a direct service registered charity, DEAM Support Services, and DEAM stands for Disability Empowerment Equality Network Support Services, and we have a center here in Mississauga, Ontario, which we hope to replicate as a model in other communities. And we found that people with developmental disabilities and families with young children with developmental disabilities had the greatest need for support. We've come across people who are deaf, people who are blind or low vision, people with physical, so every imaginable disability that exists across the board exists in every community, including the Muslim Canadian community.
So can you give me an overview of some of the supports you provide?
Well, through Dean Support Services, we run a full-time day program for adults who have left the school system after age 21. And this day program teaches them basic life skills, but we keep their spiritual and cultural needs into our planning process. We take those into consideration. We have a drop-in activity that we run on Sundays in Mississauga, also in Scarborough. We're hoping to expand to Ottawa and elsewhere. That, again, brings together people with developmental disabilities. We have a virtual peer support group for people who are blind and low vision. We have a group of individuals with physical disabilities, a peer support group that has recently started up. We have a family peer support group as well. Annually, we have an annual Eid celebration where we ensure that we give gifts to especially children with disabilities. And all our programs and services, by the way, operate from a faith-based place or framework, but we are here to serve everybody. We will not turn anyone away who identifies as a person with a disability and wants to participate in our programs and services.
So, are there any challenges in providing services to such a large and diverse segment of the population?
Excuse me. The biggest challenge always is funding. You know, government has been clawing back and clawing back and clawing back over the years. So our primary source of funds is direct fundraising from within the community. And, you know, the need, like you said, is vast. It's huge. So we really have to invest a lot in fundraising. And when we're fundraising, we're one of the causes, right? People are often captivated with global calamities or tragedies, you know, war, earthquakes, storms, wildfires. People get preoccupied and caught up in headline issues and put their donations out there. So it's always challenging to compete with those headlines with the real lives of people that are impacted on a daily basis.
So, to look at the converse side of things, in your time with the association, is there any success story that stands out for you?
We've come a long way in raising awareness. We have raised a lot of awareness. People have been extremely generous to me. That's success. Establishing our center from nothing to something is incredible. Like, we actually have a house that runs all these programs and services in our office. That's huge. We've brought people together. We hear from families how grateful they are, how good they feel that their family members are participating in our programming, especially people with developmental or intellectual disabilities. And we see the changes in them as individuals, how they're growing and developing and acquiring new skills and building relationships. That is very gratifying.
So, if you could send any one message about the work you're doing and how it's just part of the community, part of the great tapestry, what would you say?
Every one of us has a role to play in this beautiful mosaic that we call home as Canada. And every one of us is doing our part to make a difference. Our differences are actually truly a tool to bring people together, to serve humanity, and to shift attitudes toward people with disabilities, to shift attitudes toward how people perceive Muslims. The best thing I can do is to show them how I live as a Muslim, as a person with a disability. If I can help, if we can help solve problems for people, we win over hearts and minds. And I think that that's a duty that every Canadian should embrace wholeheartedly to make a difference in this society and in this country and make sure that we are building communities and a society that truly fosters a sense of belonging for every Canadian with or without a disability.
So, are there any projects on the horizon for the association?
Well, our Vision 2020 is to pilot a group home model rooted in Islamic values. So we wish to hold, go through a process of bringing individuals and families together to define what this model looks like and to actually pilot a model so that, again, you know, what we want people to understand and appreciate is people with disabilities are not just disabled people. They have a whole life and a whole lived experience that really needs to be respected and responded to in service delivery. And that's the model we wish to build.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Okay.
Folks, it's easy to forget sometimes when you hear all the stuff in the news about how it's one group against another, that it's our humanity that binds us together. No matter who we are, where we're coming from, what we believe, or how we move, we're all part and parcel of the same thing. Fundamental structure of life. Fact is, just because a person might believe something differently than what you believe, doesn't make them your enemy, it doesn't make them a bad person. Yeah, it's easy to get lost in the myths and the misperceptions these days, but the fact is, every segment of the population has people with disabilities. And like any segment in the population, they have families and hopes and dreams, and what's more, they love the people who are close to them. Parents in a Muslim community of a child with a disability, they're still going to love and care for that child. It's no different than any other religious background. It's no different than coming at it from a place of saying, this is someone I created. This is someone I'm going to love. And the fact that their program doesn't turn anyone away, that's really a beautiful thing, folks. The fact is, you can buy into the dogma and the myths and the misperceptions, or you can spend some time getting to know people for who they are. Just trying to see that common point of view. And we as a society need to remember this just a little bit better, I think. To remember that it's all about creating the best quality of life for all our people, no matter what. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Canadian Blood Services invites you to save a life today. Every 60 seconds, someone in Canada needs blood. Donating is simple, and your blood will go to help Canadians undergoing heart surgery, leukemia treatment, or those involved in an accident. Go online and book your appointment today at www.blood.ca or give us a call toll-free at 1-888-2-DONATE. That's 1-888-236-6283.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Rabia Kader from the Canadian Association of Muslims with Disabilities. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Justin Harford from Mobility International. So tell me a little bit about Mobility International.
Well, Mobility International is a nonprofit based in Eugene, Oregon, United States. The goal of Mobility International USA is to advance the rights and leadership of people with disabilities globally, both through international development and international exchange.
So, can you give me an overview of some of the work that you folks do?
Well, on one side of that, you have international development. So the work that we do in international development, in large part, is providing trainings to disability rights leaders around the world on topics like passing new legislation and enforcing legislation after it's passed. On the exchange side, we do occasional programs directed at disabled people, but more often than not, what we do is we advise people on how to participate in mainstream international exchange programs.
So, how do you go about spreading the word about the work that you do?
Well, I would say the majority of the word about our work is spread through word of mouth. We communicate a lot with professional associations, especially in the exchange and international development field, and so people hear about us through colleagues. And we also, of course, are active on social media, and we maintain a website at www.miusa.org.
So, are there any challenges in providing this information to leaders and to people with disabilities themselves?
I think I can probably more in terms of challenges, I think I can probably better more effectively speak to the international exchange side of things. And I think that generally what we find in communicating the message with international exchange, people with disabilities face a lot of the similar challenges that non-disabled people face when it comes to doing international exchange, like funding and figuring out where they want to go. We're surprised actually how oftentimes a lot of the conversations that we have are just generally about what is the best program and, you know, why is international exchange kind of the thing that I want to do. On the other hand, I imagine from my communications and interactions with our international development work that we do, it seems like people with disabilities in other countries face many similar challenges as well, surprisingly, although probably lack of funding is an extra added on. But in addition to that, the usual difficulties with public transit, with organizing people, with not only passing laws, but finally once they're passed, how do you get them enforced?
So, how do you go about educating people with disabilities to overcome these challenges?
Well, I think we do it through a variety of ways. First of all, on our website, we distribute best practices on international development and international exchange. In addition to that, we also distribute stories of people who succeed in these areas. So that way, when you go to our website, you see not only a mix of best practices and tip sheets on how to make your goals work, but in addition to that, you also have success stories of people with disabilities who have succeeded. And so you can kind of see what that success looks like in the real world.
So, if you wouldn't mind sharing a couple of those success stories with my audience, that'd be great.
Oh, sure. So on the international development side, for example, I believe that we recently featured a story where a group of lawyers in Central America managed to finally convince the courts that there was, let me rephrase that. So in Central America, in our international development work, we actually, I believe, featured a story of a group of disabled lawyers who were able to successfully bring a lawsuit for discrimination based on international laws. And it was the first disability rights lawsuit in the history of that country. In the case of international exchange, again, lots of stories. And one of them that comes to mind right now is a woman who participated in the Peace Corps, Krista Bucks Camacho, who we feature her story on our website as well. She uses a wheelchair, and she served in the Peace Corps for over 2 years in Paraguay.
So, what happened with this woman serving in the Peace Corps? Was she able to succeed despite having a disability? Or?
Yeah, and she found generally that Yeah, I think she was really surprised and content to find that when she got there, her community was really supportive. There were even some aspects about it that she was surprised by. For example, the fact that showers in Paraguay were more accessible, since all Paraguayan showers tend to be designed like roll-in. And she did have some initial challenges in convincing the recruiters that she could do the job. And one of the things that she did in order to convince them was she put together a video showing how she did certain things. And she shared that with them, and that kind of helped to clear up some of the concerns. Now, you got to remember that this was a number of years ago, so there was no YouTube. She actually had to, I don't believe there was YouTube, so it was actually a video. Another really interesting success story I just wanted to share is, I don't know which one you'd want to use, but another woman in the Peace Corps that we know of who's blind, she actually served in Kurdistan. And again, when she got there, a very supportive community, very workable in terms of getting around and making things work. And she had an interesting experience, though, too, where they were having trouble finding a country initially that would take her. And so what she did was she actually picked up the phone, went to conferences, talked with people, and through one of her connections, she actually found out about a center in Kurdistan that was looking to train blind people. She found out about this organization, got in touch with them directly, and then had them communicate with Peace Corps. And then they got signed up as a volunteer site with Peace Corps. So she kind of is an unusual Peace Corps volunteer in that she actually basically organized her own assignment in order to make it work.
So if you could send any one message about the need for people with disabilities to take on goals like this, what would you say?
You could send one message to people with disabilities about the goals, about making this happen. I would say that, at least I can say as a blind person, I've found challenge in being challenged. I've found that people of all my life had pretty low expectations of me. It seems like this has kind of been the experience that I've observed with people with disabilities at large, a lot of the other people that I've met. An international exchange is really that opportunity that we have to really challenge ourselves and put ourselves in a situation where it doesn't really matter if people have low expectations around you, because the challenges that you're taking on are real. You are actively out there organizing logistics, making things happen for yourself, working in a situation that you've never dealt with before, and doing something that actually a lot of non-disabled people are afraid of doing. And in doing this, you put yourself in a situation where you can really develop yourself and really build your confidence and become more independent and more capable.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Thank you, Cam. Absolutely. It was a pleasure.
Of course. The blind woman in the Peace Corps who created her own assignment. This is as it should be, because no one can speak better to the issues of a person with a disability, what they're capable of, and what might need some adaptation better than they themselves. So goes the saying, nothing about us without us. Fact is, she was not someone who was ruled by her condition, not falling into what society expected of her, but rather saying, this is what I know my capabilities are, and I am going to respond on that basis, because I know I can achieve, I will achieve. I will find a way to use what I have been given, just to speak into the lives of others. Fact is, there's nothing worse than seeing a person with a disability isolating themselves. There's nothing worse than that. Saying, the world won't want me around because I move this way or speak this way or think this way. Fact is, it's simply not true. A person with a disability always has something to contribute. Always some way they can be a part of this great tapestry we call life. Serving in the Peace Corps, that's going above and beyond. That's taking their disability to a place where it might not be as well understood and saying, I am a person. I am a human being with capabilities, hopes, dreams, all my own. And I want to share what I am capable of with all of you. But finding that center that wanted to train people with blindness must have been a fantastic moment when she finally said to herself, "There is a way, and I found it. Now I can start working with others. Now I can start creating. Now I can be recognized for my strengths and my gifts. Not just as a person with a disability leading others, but as a person leading others and contributing, giving back to a community not my own, but part of a global community in which we all share. The fact is, for any of us, it's a difficult thing to reach beyond ourselves, step outside our comfort zone. Something like the Peace Corps, going to a place that's unfamiliar, traditions and customs that may be a little different. But finding a genuine understanding and appreciation for such a place and such a people, that strengthens our understanding, the global makeup of humanity. We can't just go in assuming we know what the rest of the world will be like, what their expectations will be. But what we can do is take time to learn, appreciate, and better ourselves along the way. In each of us, whether we have a disability or not, comes down to a great choice. We can choose to be ruled by what others believe about us, or we can choose to live by what we know about ourselves. For the fact is, no progress is ever made anywhere by choosing to run away from being a part of the great community, from shielding ourselves from what we could accomplish simply because we're afraid to get out there and say, "I believe this can be done. I believe the world can be better." No progress is going to be made. If a person with a disability, or an able-bodied person for that matter, fails to recognize that they have a gift, that they have something to contribute to this community. And it doesn't matter what the scale is. It does not matter whether it's just having an impact on an individual life by giving them a smile when they're having a rotten day, or if it's something leads a person to run across the country just to raise awareness. People with disabilities exist, and they're entitled to a little consideration. The impact a person can have on another's life cannot be measured. But for those who would receive such an impact, it's a matter of keeping an open mind, of understanding that the world is not just a steady diet of the same type of people over and over again. It's a very limited experience. That's all you allow yourself to see. But if you look beyond all that, keep an open mind, you might find people with disabilities are not ruled by a weakness, but they have mastered another kind of strength. Strength to live with dignity, courage, to say, "I want to be accepted. Choose to stand beside me or do not, but either way, I'm going to live with dignity and accomplish the dreams that I want to accomplish." This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.